And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi, everyone. Oh, I didn't do that part, so I'm going to make this up as we go, guys. Hi, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Fuck. You should leave that in.
Energy, though.
Thanks. No, I realized I forgot to put a thing in my notes right there, so I'm just going to make it up as we go. So, hi, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In these episodes... notice how I say these,
yeah.
Dear listeners. The Republic's new superpowered weapon awakens the fearsome Zillow Beast of Malastor. Now the Jedi must devise a way to contain the deadly creature. And then later, the Republic forces bring the Zillow Beast back to Coruscant to study. When it escapes, the Jedi must choose between saving millions of lives and destroying the Zillow Beast, the last of its kind. This is the part where I didn't write anything, so I'm going to make it up.
Oh.
There will be wet blanket windows all contemplated, Palpatine being evil, Padme falling off of buildings, and Godzilla!
Oh, yes.
We're talking about the Zillow Beast and the Zillow Beast Strikes Back this week. Double episode.
I know. Hi, Chris. It's crazy how well this worked out, because we figured if we did a double episode... It's gonna line up our whole J-Guys and Jedi itinerary right through the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and the end of season two, and our whole Christmas prequel trilogy recap that winds right up with the Star Wars holiday special. So
yeah.
So these two episodes were just perfect to mash together.
And honestly, not a lot happens in the first episode. It would have been a really short episode.
Well, you know, not a lot happens as in, like, let's describe the story. But a lot happens as in the manner of a lot of things get thrown around and stomped on and climbed on.
Yeah, I had, like, 6 notes for the first episode.
Exactly. I have a bit to talk about on these two. I love these episodes. I love them.
Well, are you doing okay today?
I am doing okay.
That's good.
So good.
I mean a Kit Kat bar.
Ooh, sounds delicious. The thing is, I had Kit Kats the other day and I forgot. Like, we live close to the Canadian border,
mm-hmm.
and Kit Kats are different in Canada. They use different chocolate on them. Kit Kats in Canada are so much superior, so I'm always having friends picking me up Canadian Kit Kats, and then when I have American Kit Kats, they don't stand up. I know that might be un-American of me to say, but you Canadians out there, I know there's some Canadian listeners. You got the Kit Kats, man. Say that about you.
Give me a break. Give me a Rex. Give me a wreck. Break me up a piece of that great clone sex. It's a chocolate piece of clones. Makes my day. So wherever you go, you hear the fangirls say, give me a wreck. Give me a wreck. Break me pie off a piece of that great clone sex.
I see a giant hope monster in like Clone Wars, like picking up like a clone trooper and just breaking off arms.
No, I'd be this little beast like going through the city just going, Rick! Where are you? And he'd be like, Cody.
Yeah, that's more like the attack of the 50-foot woman. That's what she did. She went stomping through Las Vegas looking for her husband. Oh, you're cheating.
That's awesome. Yeah, this is definitely gonna be way more up your alley, because like I've seen maybe like I could probably count the amount of monster movies I've seen on one hand.
Oh, you mean?
Yeah, it's just.
You mean on one claw?
Yeah, one claw, because it's not my wheelhouse. So, like, here you go. Here are my monster movies I can think of that I've seen off the top of my head. The Matthew Broderick Godzilla.
Okay.
And I love Matthew Broderick, but that movie is terrible. I'm in so in love with Cloverfield.
Okay.
I love that movie. But I think the reason I loved it so much is I was in the whole, like, J.J. Abrams Lost hype. So, like, I was going in all the Cloverfield episodes. I uncovered the hidden manga, which has, like, the origin. I followed all the MySpace accounts and cracked all those. I knew all the characters that didn't have speaking roles in the movie who were background characters that made Cloverfield, that were, like, part of Cloverfield. I knew about the guy that is still missing because he went to Taruga and, like, uncovered that they were deep oil drilling. Like, I loved Cloverfield, but I think what I loved about it was all the priest stuff, that
right.
the Lost-esque J.J. Abrams stuff about it. Though I'm really sad to say I still have not yet seen 10 Cloverfield Lane, and that kills me because I really want to see it.
I'd be interested to hear your opinion of it. I thought it was a decent movie.
Yeah, and from what I've gathered from a few people, it's not even quite a sequel to the original.
No, it might be tied to Cloverfield, the movie. I don't think so. I think they're just trying to link them together in name, like a horror anthology, you know? Like every year, a new some new movie with
the word. Cloverfield is the military name given to the thing.
Right, right.
So it's a military name. It's not like even though the monster is named Clover and everything, it's when it's a military operation when they have to deal with monsters.
Yes, and this is like the actual address on the house. So, yeah, you'll have to see the movie to see you know to see what you think. There's nothing I can tell you about the movie that isn't a spoiler, so I can't really say anything about it, except I thought it's always fun to watch John Goodman. He's a great actor.
Yeah,
and, he doesn't get to play a super, you know, departure character, but he's the character he plays, he gets, when they got John Goodman for it, he adds a little extra depth to it.
Yeah.
But that's about all I can really say about it.
And then the only other horror movie I can think of that I've seen was, I know I saw King Kong, like the original, like, 20s one, but I was a child.
All right. Well, you have a good...
Just remember there's a monkey on a building. That's all I remember.
Well, luckily you have a decent background for these two movies, then, actually, because these two episodes are King Kong and then Godzilla right in a row.
Yeah, so that's about my extent of monster movies. It's just not really my wheelhouse, so... I thought this would be very much up your alley.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The first time I saw this, I went nuts. And the second time, I appreciated it even more.
See, I had the opposite. Like, when I first saw this, I even said this in my recap. Like, I thought that I was like, these are two filler episodes. What the hell? But the more and more I watched these episodes over the years, the more and more I fell in love with them.
Yeah. I mean, being a Godzilla and King Kong fan... puts a lot into it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a lot of the reason I appreciate it. I'll go into that as we get into the different acts of it, but.
Well, ready to get started then?
I am ready. Oh, right, yeah, so I'm ready.
Just so you know, listeners, since this is a special episode, I'm going to read all the episode information for both episodes. And instead of breaking this into three acts each like normal, we're going to present this as one long episode broken into six acts. But I will still designate the end of the first episode just so you guys know. Okay.
And you're going to get a double dip of the drunken Yoda. Well, who knows if he's drunk this week? Who knows what's up?
Maybe I'll just slur into one.
But Yoda gets to do two in a row this week.
You should just slur them together as one long thing. Just to see if it works or not. All right, so... Oh, I'm about to read a lot. Actually, let me take a drink of my coffee first. Because I know I'm about to read a lot. All right. The Zilla Beast and the Zilla Beast Strikes Back are the 40th and 41st episodes of Star Wars The Clone Wars. They aired on April 9th and April 16th, 2010. The Zilla Beast was written by Greg Titley and directed by one Carlo Volpe, and The Zilla Beast Strikes Back was written by Stephen Melching and directed by Stuart Lee. I found it interesting they were written by different people, but then usually most arcs are written by different people. But anyway, if you go to the Wikipedia page for The Zilla Beast, they have some of the concept art for the actual creature. If you go to the Wikipedia page for The Zilla Beast Strikes Back, there's a fantastic promotional poster for the episode with Erebish riding done in the style of an old Japanese monster movie. And I sent it to Chris, so he knows what it looks like.
I love that. I've always wanted a poster of that. That would just be beautiful on my wall.
Maybe, because Chris does all the editing, maybe it'll be our art for this episode.
I'm looking. The thing about that picture is, it's hard. I've back when we originally did this, I probably was looking for the same art. It's hard to find a good, nice big picture of it. I always find little thumbnails of it.
Yeah.
It makes me nuts.
Yeah, and with all the Erebish on it, you would have to pretty much just stick letters on top of it. So, we'll see. But I do suggest, guys, go to the Wikipedia page for The Zilla Beast Strikes Back. The promotional poster artwork for this is amazing.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Something I never noticed in the credits before, and this blew my fucking mind, Tom Kane, who is the voice of the narrator in Yularen, is also Yoda's voice actor.
Ooh.
I never put the two together.
I might have to start working on my bad Yularen impression.
Oh no, the war is still ongoing. Yeah, it's a dire situation. Oh, the humanity! You just need to sound like a 1920s like Hindenburg.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Oh, their humanity. Well, you gotta kind of talk in the back of your voice like this, and
yeah. But Yularen's also got that nice deep, you know, he's got that deep little dulcet tone to his voice too.
You don't have to talk like this, like you're anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so now we're gonna have two episode featurettes coming up. Here we go. And the episode featurette for The Zilla Beast, Dave Filoni said, The Zilla Beast! A couple of things I put into the episode. We have the return of the Y-Wings, which I like very much. But the pilot's names are, I think, Rod and Goji. If you look on Goji's helmet, I painted an emblazoned... I had a painting emblazoned of this creature with eyes and these fungal barbs. This is my little mimic of Godzilla. Rod has these pterodons painted, and that's Rodan. You'll have to look really closely for this, but on the chest of the tactical droid that's leading the army that shows up in just one shot, he has this symbol on him, and that symbol is reminiscent of the oxygen destroyer that actually kills Godzilla in the very first Godzilla movie in 1954. The Zilla Beast himself, I knew, had to be different. It's rare that George would approve something that a lightsaber cannot cut, but it had to do something that we'd never seen before. I will tell you one thing that is the same. Doge Urus is a jerk. We have yet to find a nice friendly Doug. So that we've yet to find a nice friendly Doug. So maybe that's a future Clone Wars story. Where are the friendly Dougs? I'll name him Pablo. In the featurette for The Zilla Beast Strikes Back, Dave Filoni says, I thought George's choice to have Palpatine catch the Zilla Beast's eye, or Wrath in this case, was better than if it fell in love with Padme. It was nice that Palpatine got some love there. Hate, I mean. I was joking with George that nobody in the Republic knows, especially the Jedi, that the Zilla Beast is trying to tell the Jedi that Palpatine is a Sith Lord. He knows. He can sense that kind of thing. He's yelling, and at this point in the future, comic book speech bubbles started popping up above the Zilla Beast's head and screaming, No, he's a Sith Lord! Look, he's bad! And they don't know because they don't know Zilla. I do, so I knew what it was saying, which is kind of unfortunate because the Zilla could have saved the whole galaxy a lot of trouble. But you know that Palpatine, he's shifty. He's a creeper.
Creeper.
I love Dave Filoni. Dad, seriously, if you ever get a chance, Chris, to watch some of the featurettes on StarWars.com, they're hilarious. He's such a troll. I love Dave Filoni.
Speaking of trolls.
I know. Okay, here we go.
Somebody's coming out from under their bridge right now.
We got two platitudes for you for Yoda. I don't know why I just started talking like this. I'm sure Chris Tyler is like, hey, stop doing a terrible Jersey accent.
Sometimes, got a tic tac. Sometimes Yoda just starts kissing. Okay.
Oh my god, I'm gonna puke up my freaking Kit Kat.
When a Jedi Master one is, one can do almost anything. And they let him too. Okay.
I didn't want to support that. I didn't want to support that. But then I couldn't help it. I left.
Yoda likes to grab life, you know?
Grab it by the Zillow.
By the lightsaber.
By the shorts.
Okay.
Okay, so are you going to do these two separately or is one long one?
One long. You ought to do it all as one long, the hard way.
Okay, I'm going to eat my Kit Kat.
Choose what is right, not what is easy. The most dangerous beast is the beast within.
You know, it actually works as one long one.
Oh, yeah. What no, she said, that is.
No, but usually, it actually works as long as one long.
I think both of those work like for, they actually work for their respective episodes for once.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Dugs want to kill the Zillow Beast the easy way, but the Jedi want to do the right thing in the first one, and the Beast Within is probably referring to Palpatine, who's more dangerous than the Zillow Beast. But I don't want to get too far ahead.
I'm almost done with my Kit Kat. It started melting on me. I had to finish it fast.
No, you should have gotten the M&Ms. Do they melt in your mouth, not in your hand?
No, I haven't had a Kit Kat in forever, and it was only like 50 cents at Walgreens. So I was just like, yes.
Or you could get the Reese's Pieces and go full ET.
I love Reese's. Oh man, Reese's Pieces though. That's the shit right there.
Yeah. Yeah, no. M&Ms are okay. I get sick of M&Ms real quick. I could eat Reese's Pieces all day.
I like the crunchy M&Ms, the ones that have like little cookie bits in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Those are good.
Those are really good. I'm done.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Hungry.
No, I haven't read over these notes, so I wrote half of this last night and the other half today. So, we're just gonna see how it goes.
Isn't that how it always is?
I know. I usually edit them, but I haven't edited the last few weeks, so I'm just like, oh, fuck ever.
Well, I'm sure they'll be dripping with class.
I'm sure they're going to be dripping with grammar mistakes. Act 1. Hey, guess what? There's still a war going on. I don't know how long I'm going to keep that joke running, but I kind of like it. One day we have a peaceful episode. No, there's still a war going on. Just kidding. One of the longest battles raging is on Malastare, and the Separatists aren't there to party. They're close to winning. Okay, so maybe they're throw a big party for themselves. Anyway, this is a big deal since Malastare gives the Republic fuel at all. No gas, no running ships. Palpatine's like, guys, I got the best idea ever. Let's use a freaking bomb that literally blows them away. It's gonna be huge! At the palace of ugly King Doge Urris, leader of the Dugs, Anakin and Wet Blanket Windu are ready to make a last stand. And I will try not to make a Doge meme here. Do you know what a Doge is?
No, I know what a dojo is.
A Doge is this internet meme about a dog. And it's I think it's what are those really cute Japanese dogs? They're Shinobu?
Shih Tzus?
No, they're the big brown ones. They're like the national dog of Japan.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
They're the kind of fluffy ones. It's this dog that looks kind of dumb, and it got named Doge. So when they were like, oh, Doge Urris, I was like, Doge? Hello, internet, how are you? So I will try not to make Doge meme jokes here. And I actually didn't, so I was quite proud of myself. Doge is worried about his people being caught in the blast, but a holoskype Palpatine mentions to a mighty fishy doctor, because she's literally a fish lady, Dr. Sion Birdbowl, that the bomb is pretty much a glorified EMP. It will only hurt droids, you know, if it works. Dr. Bowl already sounds like she's completely done with life, as she assures them that the bomb will work. Wet Blanket Windu don't like this one bit. Rex prances out like the prince he is, and his men engage the droids. The battle is tense, as droid ships are using kamikaze methods on the clones. Anakin is up on his high out of danger, high horse palace thing at standpoint, and calls in the bombers. In a scene reminiscent of World War II, they release the bombs and a huge explosion sets off. Everyone watches with held breaths. The reason I mentioned that Anakin, by the way, thing is very unlike him to not go into battle, so I was just right. Like, oh, Anakin, you're actually not in the battle for once. The droids are completely destroyed in the nearest blast radius before a second ball of electric-like warbles out, as Netflix described the blast, and knocks out the remaining droids offline. While it takes out the Republic tanks as well, the clones, the Jedis, and the Dugs are all unharmed. Speaking too soon, Anakin is like, "Welp, looks like we won!" Suddenly, a massive sinkhole drops down and grows wider and wider. Beautiful Rex and his men flee for their lives. Run, Rex, run! Some of the fuel lines break, but most important thing is that Rex survives.
That's the takeaway on part one.
Rex survived! Let's go back to it now! Done. No, what'd you think of Act 1, Chris?
Well, Windu wet blankets his way right at the beginning.
He automatically is like, okay, let's just dampen everybody's party.
He's being kind of nice to Anakin, though, for once.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice change. And it's nice to have them together and not have, like, Obi-Wan there.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not being, like, the condescending jerk he usually is to Anakin.
Yeah, and I really wish that you had more of those scenes, because I think a lot of times, like, when Obi-Wan is there, Windu and Obi-Wan can kind of double up on Anakin. So it makes Anakin have to act out more, but I think right now he's, like, very much treating Anakin like a peer for once.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice, you know? Windu needs friends. So, he needs someone to, like, wax his head.
So I could start with all the obvious, with just the Godzilla parallels with this, you know? For one, he's... You know, Godzilla wasn't created by... Well, they're saying he was created by a bomb, but he was unleashed by a bomb, just like this one. And this one sort of has a little bit of King Kong mixed in there, too, where King Kong, like, the first meetings with King Kong are him coming up to a raised wall, and this is just sort of the opposite version, where he's in a hole in the ground. But it's sort of the same idea. And the first sound that the Zillow beast makes is pure Godzilla. There's even a Wilhelm scream in there as somebody falls into the...
We're not there yet.
Oh, really? That's not the... Okay.
Yeah, we haven't seen the beast yet.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So that's... I guess that's about all I got for the first part, then.
I often feel like I'm the wet blanket, because I'm just like, but we're not there yet, Chris. I'm sorry, I'm a wet blanket.
Yeah, I was having a hard time finding the... I love those grasshopper steeds that the Dugs have.
Yeah!
They look... What I like about Star Wars is the people who design all the flora and fauna on a planet do a really good job of making them all look like they've evolved sort of out of the same line, you know? So that each plant, like the Dugs and the creatures they're riding, look like they evolved on the same planet. So I think that's really neat. And I just love the way the things run, too.
Isn't there a Dug in episode one? He's the one that Anakin's racing against?
Oh, yeah. This Dug is actually less of a dick than that Dug. This Dug seems like a gentleman compared to that guy.
Well, this Dug is a leader.
Right, so. Right. Where the other one was a scoundrel race car driver, basically. But yeah, yep, episode one has Sebulba.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, I know I've seen Dugs before, but I couldn't place exactly where I saw one.
And you'll be seeing them again in December.
I'm so excited. I've been so tempted. I keep seeing, like, the prequels on TV and stuff like that. I'm like, no, I can't watch it yet. I'm so excited. Ugh, especially... Because I think, in my mind, episode one is going to be a train wreck, and episode two and three are going to be, like, really good.
Episode two, well, episode one, I'm still a supporter of that movie. But as far as, like, talking about the stuff we've been talking about in Clone Wars, two and three are going to have a lot more meat for that. Because they don't have little kid Anakin in them. They have, you know, more of the Anakin that we're used to.
Yeah.
Especially episode two.
At some point we should do like a commentary or like do a cover of The Force Awakens or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Especially because or at least the one I kind of want to talk about because I think it ties in more would probably be Rogue One. Especially like once we get into Rebels and with Saul Guerrera, like definitely after we do season 5. Actually, by the time we get to season 5, Rogue One will probably be on DVD.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So we could probably watch the Saul Guerrera arc and then do like a commentary on Rogue One
By that time, yeah, there'll be three more Star Wars movies out by then because there's going to be one every year.
Yeah. Oh, did you see that Donald Glover got casted as young Lando?
Yeah, that looks about right. He looks.
Yeah.
More Lando on Rebels. I'm waiting for more Billy Dee Lando on Rebels.
I know he's confirmed for season 3. I just don't know when he's coming in. I will say I wasn't really too excited about the Han Solo movie until I saw Donald Glover as Lando, and now I'm pretty excited because I love Donald Glover, and I think that's a really good casting choice. I'm just wondering if we're going to see what's her name? Santa Solo? Sana Solo?
Oh, I don't know.
His wife?
Right, from the comics. I never read past that part.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if we're going to see her. So that's my other wondering of that movie. I think that'd be really cool to have her. So anyway, I only really had one note for this, and because it's a relatively straightforward act. But I think the battle is really cool, and I like that it's dropping the EMP is a lot like dropping the atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, especially like how it kind of happened and how they like the first initial blast and then the second wave. I love World War II, and it's my favorite time period to study. So I like really love when they make nods to like stuff like that. So
yeah, there's definitely a lot of World War II and Star Wars too. So
yeah, well, it is Star Wars.
Yeah.
Star Wars. So, but yeah, that's all I had for Act 1.
All right,
so.
Let's keep going forward so I get synced up with my notes. I'm already got to get past my spoiler phase here.
I'm sorry.
No, that's my fault.
I'm sorry. I'm your personal wet blanket that throws wet blankets on your notes. I'm sorry.
Somebody's got to do it.
I'm just going to mail you a wet blanket for Christmas.
I'll just mount one over my head, and then we can set up a remote control. You could just hit a button that drops it on me when necessary.
Wow. I got him. I did it. Anyway, so, Act 2. In the wake of the bomb, the Dugs and the clones are scavenging the battlefield for survivors and making sure the droids are down for good. What Blanket Windu tells Palpatine the results? Palpatine gives no shits about the lost troopers in the sinkhole and is like, "Hey, King Dugs, you want to join my Republic Party? You better sign my treaty, please." Doge Urris is like, "We have to pass it in our government first." Surprisingly, Palpatine puts all his cards on the table, saying they need the fuel, or the army will suffer, putting all his chips in Doge Urris's claws. Rex gets a call that the rescue team have lost contact in the sinkhole. Wetblink and Windu heads out to see what's up. Down in the hole, Windu sees hands and finger marks left by clones dragged away. Rest in peace, nameless clones. He then gets a call that the team has been found. The pilot clone is shaken and scared and says that they're not alone. Windu calls, continues the search with clones, Trapper, Commander Pons, and Hawkeye, aka Hope's favorite Avenger. And he calls to Anakin, "I think there's some snakes on my plane. Oh wait, I'm sorry, wrong movie. There's something strange going on down here." Anakin gets R2-D2 and heads down. As Windu and his men are searching, the ground under them starts to lift, and there is one pissed off dragon. I mean Zillow Beast. They stupidly fire at the beast, and that doesn't make it very happy. Mace and his men run away as Anakin flies unknowingly right at it. "What the flying nun Padme is that?" he screams. With Anakin's ship distracting the beast, Mace and his men get the fuck out of there. The Zilla Beast is like, oh hey guys, let's be friends! And of course Anakin can't understand Zilla, so he gets his ship hit by the tail, and once again Anakin crashes his ship. The Zilla Beast is like, oh no, new friend, you crashed! Let me run at you at full speed and make sure you're okay! Anakin freaks out and hops on R2 and flies out of there. He sends the droid away and whips out his lightsaber. When he leaps onto the beast and swings at it, his lightsaber fails to cut it, and Anakin is like, well, fuck. He parkours up the beast and leaps out. R2 catches him, and he rides R2 to safety. Doge Urs explains the Zilla Beasts were once the main predators on Malastare. They would eat up all their ancestors, but when they started harvesting fuel, it killed off all the Zillos. They were supposed to be extinct, but hey, they got one down in a hole now. Like throwing rocks at a dog, the dugs are dropping little bombs on the beast in the hole because that's not a dumb idea, and that won't piss off the Zilla Beast, she said sarcastically. Windu and Anakin go to Urus, and it's time again for the Clone Wars to make drama by thrusting opposite ideals together, like making two Barbies kiss by slapping them against each other. The Dugs argue that the dumb beast is a killer, and this is an internal matter. Windu argues that the Zillo is a unique life form and the last of its kind. Therefore, it's the Jedi's duty to protect it. They all start pointing fingers. Urs is like, the Zilla was the fault of your bomb, so this is your fault. And Anakin is like, look, you lopsided mutt. You wanted the bomb. And Urs is like, we have your full fuel for your ships, so you should shut up now. And then he slaps down an ultimatum. Help us kill the beast, or you guys don't get any fuel for your army. Windu can't allow it, so Urs blows off the treaty and arms strolls away. Anakin is like, can't we just kill it, man? No one has to know. And Windu is like, dude, what kind of Jedi are you? And Anakin is like, the Darth Vader kind. But okay, but joking aside, Windu enforces that the creature is the Jedi's way is to protect innocent creatures and all life forms. It is their duty to save the creature. They Skype Palpatine, and the Emperor was like, whoa, 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 I want one. Can I keep it? And Windu wants to move it off planet so it can find a new planet to live peacefully. But when Windu says that the Dugs want to destroy it, Palpatine is like, cool, man, what's the issue? Seriously, bro, we don't have time to go all PETA crap on this. We got a war to fight. When Dr. Bull and Anakin says that the scales are impenetrable and lightsabers can't cut it, Palpatine says, whoa, 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 I want one again. Anakin says they should make the Dugs think that they killed it, and then when they get the treaty and then sneak the thing off the planet. They can shoot stunning lasers between the scales and short-circuit the beast's nervous system to put it to sleep. Palpatine's like, dude, go for it. I'm getting a treaty signed. Hey, Mas Amita, get those Instagram accounts ready. Looks like I'm getting a new pet today. I'm going to make all those cute cat videos look like shit. What do you think of Act 2, Chris?
I already said all my notes for Act 2.
Well, say it again because I cut you off.
There's a Wilhelm scream.
Wilhelm scream.
The first sound the Zillow Beast makes is the total Godzilla sound.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
It kind of reminds me of a horse neighing, like, but like a reptile.
It sounds pissed.
Yes. That is a pissed off Zillow.
But yeah, I like how Wet Blanket's nice to Anakin when he needs him.
Oh, yeah, and I really like, didn't I have a note about Windu? Yeah, I like Windu in this episode when he's not all grumpy because it actually reminds you that he's a Jedi and it's what kind of Jedi he is and then what makes him tick. I like Windu when he acts like a Jedi, not like a jerk.
Yeah, not like an administrator.
Yeah, because he kind of just comes off as everyone's principal.
Yeah.
Like everybody else is in school, but he's actually like not a principal. So he just needs to chill out a lot of times, so. Well, I'm sorry I took all your notes.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
You got some notes, though, so it's okay.
Okay, well, I was actually surprised how easily Palpatine pretty much gives all the powers to Doge Urus. He flat out says that they need the fuel instead of being diplomatic about it, and I thought that was very unlike him.
Yeah, I figured he must be playing some sort of three-dimensional chess with that.
If the only thing I can think of is, like, the Doges knew beforehand that that's why they came there in the first place, so It's not a secret.
Right.
So that was the only thing I could think of, but if not, like, I was just like, damn, Palpatine, you just told them that you need them, that, like, all the cards are in their hands now. Why did you do that? I think that we should also keep track of how many ships Anakin crashes.
I know, it's like Grievous. Except, except Grievous crashes gigundous ships. At least Anakin, you know, mostly crashes. He's crashed a couple gigundous ships, too, but not... Somebody hasn't given Anakin his own, like, you know, warbird that he's taken down yet. But, yeah, he goes through them.
Yeah, and I also think we should keep a running list of how many times Anakin R2-D2 saves the day.
Oh, I know. It just feeds back into our, if you want to end Star Wars real quick, just shoot R2-D2 at just about any point.
Yeah. And then finally, my last note, when I first saw this episode back in college, I thought the design of the Zillow Beast was really stupid. I really didn't like it, but the more and more I've watched this episode of the years, this design has really grown on me, because it's not, like, chunky and bulky like a lot of monsters. It's very snake-like and wiry and thin, and what that does, it makes this beast super fast, and we'll see that in the next episode. Like, it clears pretty much Coruscant in, like, seconds.
Yeah.
It can, like, plow through a city.
Yeah, he's not stompy and clunky, but he's got a floppiness to him that's neat, you know, and his toes and his fingers. He's got these big floppy toes and fingers that he...
And he has a third arm coming out of his back.
Yeah, and I love that he's got that sort of... His mouth is sort of... It reminds me of old coin purses. You remember the plastic coin purses they used to make? When you'd squeeze them and, like, make them talk and stuff when you were a kid. That's what his head reminds me of a little bit.
Yeah. I don't
a
have
a little
one
bit of
those...
a Venus flytrap in there, too.
I don't have one of those coin purses, but my coin purse has a Hufflepuff logo on it.
Ooh.
My friend got it for me from Wizarding World of Harry Potter because she knew I was a Hufflepuff. So, Hufflepuff rules. I'm so excited that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. The main character is a Hufflepuff, so it's our first Hufflepuff-led film.
Oh, wow.
Yay!
Now, when does that come out? That comes out, like, Christmas time, doesn't it? Or is it summer?
It comes out in, like, 2 weeks. No.
Oh, wow.
No, Doctor Strange comes out the 4th, and I think it comes out the week after it.
Oh,
so
okay.
So, it's like, yeah, it's... Let's see. Let me pull up it. No, not Dropbox. I mean,
hope it's good. I hope it's good.
I think it's actually out on the 11th, but don't quote me on that. But I know it's a week or two after Doctor Strange, and I know Doctor Strange is out next week because
really
I'm
soon,
seeing
yeah.
it. Yeah, I'm seeing it on the 3rd, so I'm very
I gotta
excited.
Save some money because I'm definitely Scott 2.0 is gonna be my ride. He's on he's broker than me, and he's like, we've got to see this in 3D. People have seen it ahead of time, said it's definitely like one of the best integrations of where the 3D enhances the movie is used to effect in the movie. So sounds good to me.
Yeah, my problem is, like, with watching 3D movies is I wear glasses, so it's very uncomfortable to wear glasses over glasses. I kind of wish they had, like, 3D goggles, because then goggles would, like, I could strap them to my head and I wouldn't have to have two pairs of glasses sitting on my ears for 3 hours.
Or clip-ons that just clipped on to, like, the front glasses or something, yeah.
Because having, like, two glasses arms on your ears for, like, 2.5 hours gets really uncomfortable after a while. Because your ears start hurting because it's holding the extra weight. So I kind of wish they had, like, 3D goggles. That way I can just strap it to my head and be done with it. I mean, if they can make those, like, 3D, like, things that strap
your head. Well, just keep your next pair of 3D glasses and then take them home and have somebody who's one of your friends who's, like, a cyberpunk or steampunk-type person put the lenses into a pair of goggles for you.
I do have a friend that could do that, but he lives in L.A.
Well, you just mail him the glasses.
Yeah, I could, I guess.
There's mail, Hope. Mail.
Yeah, but there's, like, shipping.
Yeah.
And then I have to pay him to do it, and then I have to pay for the shipping bag.
Yeah. All right, so somebody out there make Hope a free pair of 3D goggles.
Okay, well, I'll just suffer for 2 hours through Doctor Strange. So... I'm excited. I can't wait for it. That's all my notes for Act 2. All
right, let's get going to Act 3.
Okay.
Got a lot of ground to cover here.
Yeah, we do.
Like, just like the Zillow Beast.
I just realized how many caps locks I have in this next part.
I noticed that myself.
All right, so Act 3. The Jedi roll out some tanks, and Doge Urus is like, "What are those little things?" And Anakin's like, "Oh, nothing. Not tanks to trick you with into thinking that would kill the thing. No siree." But Urus already has a plan in motion. They open some fuel valves and start pouring them into the hole where the Zillow Beast is. The Zillow Beast is like, I already bathed today. I don't need a shower. This isn't a lush bath bomb. I wanted the sparkly bath bomb. That one that looks like the galaxy. Stop it. Urus tells them that the fuel is deadly to the Zillow and will kill them all in the past. Mundo is like, given that this is a stupid-ass decision, I've elected to ignore it. Get it? That was an Avengers joke. Anyway, Windu says that all they will do is piss the thing off and drive it out of the hole. Hey, guess what happens? The Zillow Beast gets pissed off and climbs out of the hole.
Hey!
Anakin and Windu charge up their ray guns and shoot at the thing. The beams don't seem to be working as the Zillow Beast starts picking up the tanks like Hot Wheels cars and throwing them around like a kid having a tantrum. And then the Netflix subtitles, because I always watch them on Netflix with subtitles so I can get spelling of stuff. The subtitles say, "The beast snarls softly," and then it starts to get sleepy. Finally, the beast falls to its knees and is down for the count. In the line, the best line of the episode, Anakin goes, "Hey, it worked!" Windu asks, "Are you sure?" Anakin replies, "Of course I'm sure. You go first." Windu pulls a How to Train Your Dragon moment and pets the beast on the nose. Now all they have to do is move the damn thing. Back at Urus's crib, he signs the treaty and Palpatine is like, "This is a great day. I get your fuel, I get a new pet, kudos and self high fives to me." Windu asks what planet they're going to take the beast to, and Palpatine is like, "You missed the point where I want a new pet. I already have my Instagram account of Zillow is mine set up. Bring the thing to Coruscant." Windu is like, "This is a terrible plan." And that's the end of episode 1.
No, it's a wonderful plan.
It's a great plan.
I like that plan a lot.
So what did you think of this final act of episode 1?
Well, the only really big note I had in this is they definitely called back to the Godzilla, the Matthew Broderick Godzilla poster with the scene with the Zillow Beast's eye. That's basically... There was a shot of its, the close-up of its eye that is the poster for, that I can't remember what year it came, but the Matthew Broderick Godzilla. It looks just like the same eye, and it has the same, green and yellow light on it. It's basically they just did the poster for the Godzilla movie visually. It was really neat. I love it. I don't have a lot to talk about, but I love, love, love this episode, All that I have to talk about is I love giant monster movies, and this is only a half hour long, but boy, it's just great.
Yeah, so my notes are, Dave Filoni is right. Doge Urus is a jerk.
Yep.
But I like the jerk side of him I like is he's kind of like a politician jerk, so it kind of works. He's a little different. He's not just like, "Let's just kill it." He's like, "No, we're killing it because of our people, and we have an honor to our ancestors." I also kind of like that there's like a prophecy thing. He was like, "No, our ancestor said that one will come back and will destroy us all." And so I kind of like there's almost kind of like a prophecy in what he was doing. Because it was like, "No, we must stop this."
But it doesn't actually kill them all.
Yeah. It just kills the people on Coruscant. Same difference. Actually, though, maybe it does. Or maybe it, because...
by the time we get to the end of the next episode.
No, I'm going to raise... I'm talking about something else. I'm going to raise this point in the second half. And the point has to do with cloning the Zillow Beast, which was the final part of the last episode.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, yeah.
And I tweeted to Pablo Hidalgo of Lucas Story Films. And, I'll just read it right now. I'm already alluding to it. I might as well. Oh, scroll all the way down. It always bothered me that he wanted to be Palpatine wanted to clone the beast, but it never, ever, ever fucking came up in the shows or the movies again. So when I asked Lucas Story Group's Pablo Hidalgo about this point and if there was supposed to be more story that never got to, he answered me on Twitter. And he said, if there's a future Zillow story to tell, I won't say, but honestly, that line about the ending is the most throwback monster movie way. So there's a chance we might always see a future Zillow story. And someone wrote to me on Twitter, and they're like, they probably used the armor on the Death Star.
Maybe. Well, that's the thing. Now, you see, that's the thing. If they were going to make Zillow armor into something, they would put it on Stormtroopers.
Well, I was about to say, like, because it was supposed to be lightweight and, like, stuff like that, but indestructible. Right. And they were making a synthesized version, so maybe they couldn't make it light enough for armor, but maybe they used it for the plates of the Death Star, so maybe it's something that might get a line dropped in Rogue One.
Maybe. I'm trying to think of the, if anybody took a lightsaber to any of the walls of the Death Star, and I don't think
that's
so.
That's what I was thinking, though. They also had ships blasting it, but these are also different ships in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they, like, you know, they... I'm reading the Ahsoka book right now, and she's always talking about how already, like, the Clone Wars stuff is considered older, and the new Empire stuff is more up-to-date and more technologically advanced. So if they're trying to make, like, Zillow beasts in the past and for the future, like, there's a chance that ships in the future might have become strong enough to break that could have killed the Zillow beast, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. If there was Zillow beast armor available, I would have it on Darth Vader.
Yeah.
I would be suiting Darth Vader up with that. But
yeah.
I got the impression that maybe they weren't able to hack the Zillow beast code or whatever, but I don't know. I'm crossing my... I want him back.
Yeah,
so
in
bad.
Some way, shape, or form. Because someone also wrote me on Twitter, they're like, can you imagine Ezra trying to talk to that creature? Because
yeah.
He's so good with animals.
Yeah, and...
Rexxar would just be like, ah, kill it!
Yeah, they basically have something that could sniff out Sith too.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much so. But I... With already Saw Gerrera in Rogue One and being so close to Rebels, I would not be surprised if we got some Clone Wars and Rebels drops in Rogue One.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I just... I'm so excited for Rogue One. I will say, since I'm expecting more Rebels and Clone Wars drops, I'm going to be disappointed if they're not there.
Yeah, I was just going to say... Don't get your expectations up too much.
No, I'm just happy to have Saw Gerrera.
Yeah, because you never know what's going to come out of it.
That just makes me over the moon. Like, I'm just ridiculously excited to see Saw. Like, I was excited for Rogue One, and then I found out Saw Gerrera was in it, and I was just like, no, I'm just stupid excited to see Rogue One. Just stupid excited. Stupid. All right, so. I didn't have anything else for Act 3. Did you?
No, are we ready to go to Coruscant?
Course.
To where the real action begins.
All right. So Act 4?
Act 4.
Act 4. Okay. Well, they got the Zillow Beast back to Coruscant on the big ship carrier, and they're slowly coming into port. A group of clones are uneasy as they carefully move the creature from the carrier to a ship hangar that's big enough to hold it. Palpatine is Gal Pal Mas Amita was watched with evil smiles. Windu comes over and tosses a wet blanket over Windu's day, saying it's a mistake to bring the beast to Coruscant. Palpatine throws that wet blanket right back at him, saying crap about how this is good for the war and not to destroy the Jedi or anything. Windu turns the care of the Zillow Beast over to Dr. Bol. At the Jedi Temple, Obi-Wan is like, why is that thing here? And Windu's like, I don't know, man. So Obi-Wan is like, I have an idea, and it starts with a P and ends with an Atme. Back at the hangar bay, the Zillow Beast is locked up and going, this is the worst vacation ever! Dr. Bol chats with Papa Palpatine about how the Beast's scales are super strong and surprisingly light, but they can't remove the scales because it hurts Mr. Zillow. Palpatine is like, dude, just kill the damn thing and be done with it. Dr. Bol argues that it's the last of its kind, and it could be intelligent. When Palpatine states it's unlikely that the beast is smart, the Zillow is like, fuck what you say about me, bro? I can hear you. Palpatine gives Dr. Bol an ultimatum. She will find a way to kill the beast, or he's gonna replace her. Zillow gives Palpatine the stank eye and swears on his Zillow mommy's grave that he's gonna eat the Chancellor.
I love that scene where they're talking about it and you can tell the Zillow Beast understands them. It's like, you idiots, can't you see it sitting there? They're like, I think it might be more intelligent than we thought. It's like, yeah, so why talk in front of it?
Yeah, because I don't think Palpatine thinks it's intelligent until later, and he's just like, oh, shit.
No, Palpatine and Anakin have absolutely zero empathy or sympathy for the Zillow Beast. And the only reason Anakin's going to go along with anything is because he'll do it for Padme, you know?
I actually had this thought of, like, if the Zillow Beast was actually just a massive droid, Anakin would be like, don't kill it!
Yeah, right. That's interesting to me.
Oh, though I do think, going back to the first episode, it was kind of a nice note because I always kind of forget about it. When the EMP goes off and, like, Anakin's hand shorts out, I totally forgot he had a mechanical hand. So that was a nice detail that they didn't forget about that.
I wonder why when they're pulling the Zillow Beast into the lab, why they don't have that sucker tied down or anything. They just had it sleeping in the ship. He was just sort of hanging out. And then Palpatine shows up and he's got, like, rosacea or something. His face is all, like... It's got, like, gin blossoms all over it.
Yeah, he's kind of peachy this episode. Yeah. Maybe he's old.
Good music in this one, too. Very monster movie-like.
Yeah.
This one's going into King Kong land, where we're going to start building sympathy for the Zillow monster. Instead of it, you know, it's going to be the kind of the hero. It definitely the sympathy is building the sympathy for the viewer for the Zillow monster.
Yeah. I like how in the opening that the narrator is talking about how the Zillow Beast is the most dangerous life form in the galaxy, and I'm like, no, that's Palpatine.
Yeah, right.
what I like about this opening scene where they're unloading the Zillow is seeing how freaking big it is. Because in the last episode, like, yeah, it was big compared to all the clones, but there was really no big structures around it. So now you're seeing it compared to, like, full-size buildings. And it's massive.
Yeah.
You get a real sense of how big this thing is.
Well, plus Jedi also parkour up it, too, and they're just little tiny fleas climbing up and down it.
Yeah, but I think, like, because even then you can't get the full scale. I think
no, you're just seeing big rolling pieces of scale.
Yeah, and so, like, having it, like, next to a building, you're just like, damn.
Right, he's Smog size. He's bigger than Smog, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, easily. The only other note I have is there's a moment that, like, super frustrates me, and it adds to the whole Jedi are idiots thing. They put in a shot in this opening scene, after they give the Zillow Beast over to Dr. Bull and the Chancellor, where Windu looks back at Palpatine. Palpatine grins evilly, and all at the Beast, and Windu watches it and then walks away. And so from a narrative storytelling standpoint, this comes off as Windu is already suspecting something is going on with Palpatine, or starting to build that idea. But we know that in Episode 3 that the Jedi and Windu are completely like, Palpatine's a Sith Lord, what a turn of events!
Yep.
So why are they putting in these, like, writing cues and those viewing cues for your audience? Because it's just red herrings, and it gives us the idea
They should have had Anakin seeing it more than anything.
Yeah, because that makes me think that Windu already knows by the time we get to Episode 3, but we know for the rest of the series he doesn't.
Yeah, in Episode 3, you can tell he was like, when he hears it, he's like, okay, that seems like that could be, yeah, that seems like that could be right, but he's not like, oh yeah, I knew it all the time at all.
Yeah. So when they do little things like that, that does frustrate me.
Tune in to December, we'll be going over that very part.
The thing that actually worries me the most is it's been so long since I've seen the movies. I'm so used to hearing their voice actors.
Hearing the real actors is going to be weird.
Yeah, it's going to be so weird. Like, because I've been watching the Clone Wars series for a while now, and I was writing, like, my things for What the Fangirl. So when we watched the Clone Wars movie, that's the only thing that Samuel L. Jackson voiced in Clone Wars.
And Anakin and Yoda sound the most different, I think.
Yeah, and so, like, hearing Windu in the movie, I was just like, oh my god, what the fuck's wrong with his voice? Oh yeah, it's a different person.
It's the actual actor.
So, like, I know that's going to throw me off, but I love Ewan McGregor. I can watch him for, like, 21 years straight. I love Ewan McGregor. I'm so excited to see him as Obi-Wan. I want an Obi-Wan movie so bad.
I know, it'll happen. It'll happen. There's no way it can't. He wants to do it. There's no way that if Disney has to put out a Star Wars movie every year.
Yeah, it's going to happen eventually.
It'll happen fairly soon because they want to catch him while he's at this age.
What is the name of the actor that originally played Obi-Wan? Alan.
The original Obi-Wan?
Yeah.
For Alex Guinness.
I think they're waiting for him to be slightly closer to that age. That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
But that way they could also, because in the comics, what they're doing, like, they keep doing these, like, little Obi-Wan one-shots, and Obi-Wan is old. Well, not older, but, well, he is older, but, like, when Luke's five, he looks like he's older. Like, he has a white coming into his beard. Actually, the first episode of Rebels, we get to see the hologram of Obi-Wan. I don't know why they did it, but he looks old, too. He has, like, white in his beard. I'm like, dude, the show was, like, 6 months ago.
Yeah, right.
So, like, what's going on, Obi-Wan? You're, like, aging prematurely really fast. Maybe it's a Force thing. He Force ages to make a disguise.
You see, I don't want him. I don't think they want him close to Alec Guinness's age because then he'd have to look. They'd have to try to make him look like Alec Guinness. I think they like having him in a different phase of his life, you know, so that it's a little more smooth in the transition. I don't know. I'd like to see early Obi-Wan making his way on Tatooine, you know, because he's just got to hang out there.
Yeah,
he's just hanging like out there for 20 years. So
I think what they'll probably do is, like, maybe somehow someone catches up with him, though I think we're gonna cover that in Rebels first.
Either that or it's setting up the movie.
Yeah, because the way it looks like in Rebels, it looks like Maul is gonna go for Obi-Wan.
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah, the only thing is that Rebels is from the point of view of the Ghost Crew, so they're gonna have to find Obi-Wan.
Correct. They're gonna have to go to Tatooine.
And so, at the same time, I'm like, yes, I want Obi-Wan and Maul to meet, but at the same time, I kind of want it to just be Maul and Obi-Wan, and I love the Ghost Crew, but I kind of don't want them there.
Yeah, well, maybe it might just be, like, Chopper or something.
That's always true, or maybe, like, I don't know, like, Zeb or Sabine or something.
Right, you know.
Actually, no, it probably should be Kanan and Ezra, because Kanan would know who Obi-Wan is. He knows who Obi-Wan is, so I think Kanan would be a good person
to go. If Kanan and Ezra meet Obi-Wan, then they're probably doomed to die.
Yeah, though...
Very quickly, within the next few years, because otherwise Obi-Wan might be working on the other Jedi instead of just Luke. You know, and he and Yoda are sort of putting all their cash in Luke and Leia. So that sort of tells me that Ezra and Kanan are not a factor for some reason by then.
I don't know. I think Ezra seeing Luke on Tatooine is... Because my fear was originally that, like...
Ezra and Luke should not meet, period.
Yes,
that would screw things up.
I totally agree too.
Luke should not be that smart.
He
shouldn't know that much about Jedi or anything like that. So I would imagine we might see Luke as a little kid and stuff maybe happening around him while he's going about his daily chores, and maybe you see things happening in the background that he doesn't see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I trust the writers to make it not stupid.
Because kind of what I was going to say is, like, kind of what I was thinking was at the beginning of Rebels, they kind of were like, oh, we need a new hope. And they were like, it's Ezra. Ezra's the hope for the galaxy. But of course, we don't know that's true. We know that's not true. It's Luke. So with Ezra seeing the twin sons and pretty much seeing Luke as the future of the Sith, of the future of the Jedi, and, like, saving the galaxy from the Sith, I could see Ezra be, like, having almost, like, a weight taken off him. Like, oh, I'm not going to be the last Jedi, and I can actually see it be quite relieving to him. Or I could see it taking him down almost to the dark side to fall into my Knights of Ren theory that he becomes a Knights of Ren. Because he's just like, you know, I thought I was supposed to be the one, you know. And because we know Ezra's kind of a jealous kid. Like, he did not react well to that Sith holocron at all. And so, like, I think they could take it one of two ways. He could be like, okay, well, we're going to just help focus on helping the Rebellion now and let Obi-Wan do his thing with this Luke kid. Or he'd be like, no, it was supposed to be me.
It was me all along. Yeah, something's got to happen, though. And that's the good thing about Filoni is he squares it up. He's going to square it up somehow. So
yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, that's all I had for Act 4.
All right, now let's get into the good part.
Yeah.
This is the part I've been waiting for.
A half of a rampage, and the rampage will finish in X6.
Rampage. I love that word.
Okay. Well, you're going to be sad because I split it, like, right when he starts his rampage.
Well, it's okay.
You might have one more act before you get into it.
It's all coming. It's all coming. All
right.
Act I love five. It all.
Act 5. Anakin arrives at the Senate building to see Obi-Wan talking with Padme. He quickly works out they want him to chat with Palpatine. Padme argues that the beast was brought against its will and has no voice to speak, so they gotta be all PETA and protect it. Anakin agrees to talk to him. In Palpatine's office, Mass Amita is like, "Look, guys, we're killing this thing for the greater good." Padme argues that killing the Zillow, the last of its kind, without a debate goes against the point of democracy, and Amita's like, "Don't you have better things to do?" Palpatine says it is his duty to protect people and give their troops their best option to win. He throws Anakin in the middle of the argument, but Anakin, in a very Jedi moment, has a very Jedi moment. He says it's not his role to set policy, and he can see both sides of the argument. He believes that they will find a solution for everyone. Padme is upset that her husband isn't taking her side on this one. Dr. Bull calls into Palpatine that she's made a deadly toxin for the Zillow Beast, and it's ready to kill it. She hopes that he's changed his mind, but Palpatine's like, "Sadly, today is the day that my new pet will get flushed down the toilet like my last goldfish, Greg. Do it." Sadly, she proceeds with the procedure. As soon as they start spraying down the beast, the Zillow is like, "Fuck this shit," and busts out of its hole. It kicks out the door to the hangar and heads for the city.
Yes! Yes, Zillow! Go! Go to the city! I love this part!
I know! I didn't realize you were gonna be so excited! Dr. Bull calls in the problem to Palpatine, and as the beast rampages through the city, Padme gets C-3PO to evacuate staff to the underground shelters. Anakin tells Rex to stay with Obi-Wan, and he's on his way, and Rex is like, "Dude, you better hurry, this party sucks."
I only have one note for this part,
okay,
and it got ruined by Dave Filoni.
Oh, what did he say?
My note is, hey.
This is the second time that Filoni's ruined your notes.
I know. I'm going to get him.
What a dick.
My note was, hey, maybe the Zillow Beast can sense Sith powers. At least I know I was right.
Well, I think, like, because, animals are, like, always kind of super sensitive to stuff like that. So, like, you know.
Yeah, but this one's, like, honed in on him. Just like, yeah,
he's
just
like, he's like, "You." Like, if he had a finger, he'd point and be like, you did this. But, yeah, they always say, like, animals can, like, sense ghosts or, like, for example, I read a story, it was, like, 2004 when there was a massive earthquake in the Indian Ocean and it flooded, like, parts, like, the huge tsunami that took out parts of, like, India and stuff. I was reading a story about these tourists were on, like, an elephant ride, and the elephants just turned and just started charging up the hill. And the elephants, actually, because these people were riding on and they really had no choice, they kind of had to go along with the elephants actually saved their life because it got them out of the area where the tsunami was.
Well, the elephants also have extremely sensitive pads of their feet.
Yeah.
And they can feel vibrations in the ground. They communicate that way. They make these low wavelength sound, you know, super low wavelength sounds that travel through the ground, and they can hear them through their feet. So the tsunami probably sounded like an earthquake coming to them. They're saying a lot of animals now can see ultraviolet too, like dogs and cats can see into the ultraviolet, which explains why they're so preoccupied with pee, because they can see it. Well, I'm sure they smell it too, because they have incredible smellers, but they like when dogs and cats are like, ooh, you know, when you take them outside and they're going to all their spots, they probably see a little, you know, line with a, it's probably like in CSI when they turn the black light on to look for, you know, DNA on the, you know, blood or human bodily fluids. They probably see little glowing spots of where other animals have peed. And are attracted to them. And they're saying stuff like reindeer, it helps them. So, like, say there's a white polar bear running on a white snow plane. The ultraviolet light makes it stand out. It makes it darker so they can see it. Just some interesting animal facts to throw in there.
Yeah, in case you're ever wondering about how animals, you know, like, could identify pee.
I feel very animal-y because I love movies where animals run rampages.
I thought you were about to say, I love animal pee. I love animal pee. It's fun.
I don't hate animal pee, but...
Anyway.
Yeah, that's a, so basically the Zillow Beast, maybe Palpatine glows like animal pee when the Zillow Beast sees him.
Oh, man. Oh, always classy, Jedi and Jedi.
Yes.
My notes was, in the opening scene with Obi-Wan and Padme reinforces my belief that Obi-Wan knows that there's something going on between the married couple, because he knew exactly that Padme was the person to tell off to Anakin.
Yeah.
Like, so, he has to know something. And, to cross the streams a little bit, I think Palpatine is a Harry Potter fan, because he's Dumbledore, and the Zillow is Harry Potter, and he needs to kill it for the greater good of the Sith. Every time they were like, we must kill it for the greater good, I was like, okay, Dumbledore, calm down there. Chill out, man. So, yeah. That's all I had for Rick. Act 5, and I know you're ready to rampage.
Oh, yeah, now I'm ready for the happiest part and the saddest part.
Oh, wah, 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 sad trombone. Alright, so, Act 6. The Zillow is rampaging through the city and smashes his face right through a billboard of Palpatine.
Yes.
People are easily dying by the hundreds. For them, it's pretty bad, but for us as viewers, this is pretty freaking awesome.
Yes, it is.
It climbs up the building like King Kong and poses for its money shot. Ah! And then it heads straight for the Senate building. It's blazingly fast and gets to the building in seconds. And Anakin's like, time to go! And there's the Beast, glaring at them through the window and sizing up Palpatine as a tasty treat. And Palpatine is like, yeah, let's get the heck out of here, you guys. Yoda tells Windu that they need to act quickly as they pick up their tanks they used on Malastare. Back at the Senate building, Palpatine, Anakin, Padme, and the droids hop on an emergency ship. Dr. Bullock calls in that they should have enough poison to kill the Beast now. The ship takes off and the Zillow is like, there you are, my Palpatine pancake! Time to eat you! And he grabs the ship. Windu and Obi-Wan shows up at the tanks, but Yoda with Aayla Secura, hey Aayla, I'm happy to see you, tells them to hold their fire. The Zillow has Palpatine. Anakin has an idea and starts cutting the ship in half. Rex brings the news to Windu, and Wet Blanket is like, what the fuck is he thinking? And Rex is like, well, you know, Anakin, it's not a Clone Wars episode unless he's breaking a ship and falling out of it. And then Rex has my favorite line of the episode saying, a lot of Anakin's plans involve falling. Aayla and Yoda head out to distract Zillow to give Anakin more time. They jump out of their airships and land with their lightsabers and run along the Beast. Anakin cuts the ship in half and their bit falls and slides down the Senate building. Padme, Anakin, and the droids slide out of the ship while Palpatine and his guard are still in the hole. And I always found it funny when R2 gets stuck and he steps a little second cup and his little thing goes boink. I like that sound effect. Anyway, Windu and Obi-Wan uses the Force to try and slow the whole slide. They successfully stop the ship from falling. Anakin saves Padme from falling off the building. The Beast spots Palpatine and is like, you're mine now, bitch!
Yes.
Windu gives the order to fire on the Zillow as the airships and the tank from Malastare shoot the lasers at the creature. R2 zips down and picks up Palpatine and flies him out of there. Joined by Yoda and Sakura, Anakin, Padme, and Palpatine flee for their lives as the Beast comes after them. Palpatine gives the order to use the gas bombs. It's a direct hit right into the Zillow Beast's mouth. Anakin, Yoda, and Sakura use the Force to shield themselves and Padme and Palpatine from the toxin. Obi-Wan and Windu watch sadly from the skies above as the Zillow Beast slides off the building and dies on the street. The next day, the Beast is being hauled onto the carrier. Palpatine meets with the Jedi, Padme, and Rex, and they lament the tragedy that the Beast had to pay with its life. He breaks off and meets with Dr. Bulb. He gives her new orders that he wants her to clone the Beast. He flies away with an evil smile to ruin more people's lives for another day. The end.
The only thing this was missing to be more King Kong-ish is if one of the clones walked up to another clone and said something like, well, that gas sure killed him! And the other one said, no, it wasn't the gas. It was Ugly that killed the Beast. But they didn't do it. It's waiting for that line. Or some variation on the 'twas beauty killed the beast line from. But of course, this time, if Zilla would have been up there with Palpatine in his claws, that would have been what, or with Padme in his claws, that would have been a little. I like how they sort of flipped it, you know. Instead of having the pure nice person, the Zilla beast is going after the asshole, which I like even better. I like that even better. Except King Kong sort of fell in love. Wasn't like, oh, I'm going to take this woman up to the top of the Empire State Building and eat her. She was his only friend. But
are you okay over there?
I'll be okay.
I'm fine. I'll be okay.
But yeah, this time the Zilla beast is just going for broke. Which I love. I always wanted a TV show. If I was ever went to like NBC or something to pitch a show, it would have been called Get 'Em. And it would have been a clip show like, you know, Animals Gone Wild or whatever, or When Animals Attack, except it would be like When Animals Attack, but it would all be where people are doing something really stupid or are jerks and deserve it and the animal just takes them out. And that would be the whole show and be called Get Up.
I saw a bit of video of this like baby like smacking a cat, and then the cat just turns and just like slaps the baby.
Bam! Yep, that would be on my show, and it would be me just with a microphone and watching the video, going Get Him, Get Him, Get Him, Get Him, Get Him, Get Him, yeah, Get Him.
That show would never.
I think it would have been a very popular show.
I don't think that show would have ever made it on the air.
It was like the kid in China who's sitting reading a book with his back to the panda cage, with his backpack like poking between the bars of the panda cage, and people are like, oh, pandas, but they're bears, you know. And that panda just wanders up to the guy and just grabs onto his backpack and is like, rah! And it's like, I'm going to rip you to shreds. The guy's like trying to run away, but he's got him by the backpack. It's great. Get him. Get him. Get him. Get him.
You're like, this kid's almost mauled, and it was fantastic.
It was. What a dum-dum, man. You know, who would sit down with their back against a bear cage with your backpack poking in between the bars? The guy was, it wasn't like a 9-year-old kid. This was like a teenager.
Okay. You made it sound like a child.
No, it's like a teenager. It's like a college student. Yeah. No. He didn't get mauled. He got his arms out of his backpack and ran away. But he had it coming. Wouldn't have felt too bad if they'd sunk their teeth in a little bit. But that's just me.
So, what'd you think of this act? I'm pretty sure you loved it.
Of course I loved it. I love anything. And the Zillow Beast does a lot of damage to Coruscant.
Yeah,
it kills a lot of innocent people, which I always put on. I put those on right on Palpatine and not on the Zillow Beast. But I kind of wanted to see Yoda try to communicate with him. You'd think Yoda would be the one who would like get. I was hoping Yoda was going to climb up his neck and get close to his eye and be like, hey, easy, big fella, you know?
Yeah.
Obi-Wan, too. Obi-Wan's always good with animals, too. You know, we find that out in episode 2 that Obi-Wan's really good at animal charming. So I would have liked to have seen them try, instead of like climbing him and trying to, you know, throw gas bombs at his mouth to try to like, you know, Yoda mind meld with him.
Yeah,
I just don't want to see Zillow die.
I kind of like I think a lot of it was just the time restraint for that one.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's always so much they can. I mean, I'm going to forgive everything because at the end they have Palpatine say clone him. So it's like, all right, he can be back. Now we have the whole setup for Zillow coming back sometime. That's all we need. I'm not worried about what kind of armor comes out of it or anything. I just want another Zillow, you know. You know, maybe sometime in Rebels they'll land on some planetoid that was where that they cloned a bunch of Zillow beasts, and then it got abandoned after the Empire got beaten, and once the Empire started or something, it got abandoned, and now it just has a bunch of Zillow beasts running around on it. That would be okay.
Someone wrote me on Twitter when I was writing to Pablo Hidalgo. They said, "Tales from Star Wars, Attack of the Clones 2, the Zillow Beast strikes back again."
Yeah, right, yeah. The Zillow Beast versus a Smog Monster.
Oh.
There's a million directions they can go.
Zillow versus the Rancors.
Zillow versus what's his Tom Baker's name?
The Bindu?
The Bindu. They might be friends, actually. That's why I don't want to see I want to see him crack the communication barrier with the Zillow Beast and have him come back as a rampaging Jedi friend. Yeah. Get on it, Filoni.
Come on, Dave.
Take what I want to see.
All right. Well, I have a bajillion notes.
I see that.
I know. Here's all my notes.
Cannoli.
Not like a bajillion, but I know. I thought you were going to mention it, so that's why I mentioned you. I like this. I love the sound editing for the beast rampaging through the city.
And the music too. The sound aspect. Every aspect of this is visual and audio is beautiful.
It's so good.
Uh-huh.
So good. So actually, I'm quite surprised you didn't mention it. Man, can you imagine what it would have been like if the Zillow actually successfully ate Palpatine? And so I want to play the what-if game with you, Chris. If Palpatine had died, I just threw my knitting needle across the room. If Palpatine had died, Count Dooku would have been the new top Sith Lord with Asajj Ventress as his apprentice. What do you think would have happened? Because the war was put on to put Palpatine in power. Do you think they would have continued with the war in Order 66, or do you think Dooku would have changed all the plans for himself?
I don't think Dooku was in on any of the Order 66 stuff or anything like that. I don't know if Dooku was in. I always take Dooku as a stooge. I think Ventress would have quickly surpassed Dooku and lopped his head off at some point.
Ventress?
Yeah, I think Ventress was much more potentially intelligent and dangerous than Dooku ever was. Dooku was just kind of a stooge. He was like a figurehead. He did not really... He put up a fairly decent lightsaber fight. That's about all he was really up for doing in the prequels. And in general in... And I think he was just a tool used by Palpatine. I think he was probably not even a very talented Sith. And Palpatine just blew smoke up his ass, you know. Oh, you're great, great, you're great. And just used him as the, you know, the scary bugaboo for everybody to think is the leader. And I think he would have gone on to try to go for galaxy domination or Ventress or whatever, but I don't think they would have been privy to the machinations that Palpatine set up. And even if they did, I don't think that even I think Palpatine had a plan, but a good part of his plan was also improvisation. So he was like, okay, I'll do this and I'll do this. But I think his plan was always having to change and evolve according to, you know, how things played out in reality. I think he knew things were going to go his way, but I don't think he knew that they were going to go his way exactly. When, you know, everything has happened as I have foreseen and stuff is just shit that guys like him say, you know, when they're puffing themselves up. But, so I think it would have been, entirely different, set up. Yeah, you never would have got the Death Star or the Empire, probably. It would have probably been something more in line with the First Order or something, you know, a guerrilla group on the fringes, dark side movement type of thing, or more like the Knights of Ren, maybe, you know.
I'm going to poke a slight hole in you, because I know that this doesn't, you don't know this, because it's a later Clone Wars series thing. I will let you know that Palpatine, or that Count Dooku does know about Order 66.
Oh, okay.
So, he does know about that.
Oh,
so
okay.
So, I could see him continuing kind of on that just to get rid of the Jedi, but I think you're right for the rest of it.
I don't think he could, I don't think he could have held the web together like Palpatine did. I don't think Dooku is a weaving spider like Palpatine, a creepy creeper like Palpatine. I think he was more of a straight up Dracula. He was basically Dracula, you know.
Well, he was Christopher Lee.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I think he was more of, you know, a general rather than a tactician or something, or somebody who's...
He's more of a politician because he's the leader of the Separatist Alliance.
Yeah, true.
So, like, he's more of a politician than I think anything else.
Right.
He did lead, was the head of the Council of the Separatist Alliance, so...
True dat.
So I think I could actually see him continuing with the war. The only thing is that Order 66 was made because the Chancellor says it. So he would have to, whoever was Chancellor would have the control of Order 66. So I think Dooku would have to work to try and be like, hey, friend, whoever you are. Hell, it might even be Masamita. Masamita would be like, oh, well, fuck that. Let's issue Order 66. Let's do this. Okay, who would take over after? I guess they would vote in a new Chancellor, wouldn't they? Because Palpatine was voted in.
Yeah, Dooku never would have been Chancellor because, you know, he was not a secret Sith. He was a disgraced Jedi, so.
Yeah. So his only real way to get Order 66 to happen is whoever's the Chancellor become their friend.
He would have to basically have a fake Palpatine, have a tool in office.
Pretty much it could probably be Masamita who could run and be like that. We've already
I just read a trivia thing where Masamita was in I don't know if he was in on the plan, but he knew that that Palpatine was also Sidious. So
I think we talked about that a few episodes ago too.
I think we did, but I don't know if we did as speculative or maybe you'd pointed it out. But I just saw it the other day. So I just saw something like trivia fact: Masamita knew everything, and I was like, "Oh, okay, makes sense."
Yeah, because like I know for him, when we talked about it, he knew later on that he was a Sith Lord. We just didn't know if he had known at the time of the episode we were watching.
Right, right.
If he knew. So, cool. That's what I was just wondering about. Yeah, I think Ventress would have been like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
And though she does try to kill him, and she doesn't work. It doesn't work out, so.
Yeah, but that's early on. I think eventually off comes ahead.
Oh, man. So, I'm both reading the Ahsoka novel and Dark Disciple. And Dark Disciple is Clone Wars episodes that never made. It's the second half of Season 6. And it's really good because it's all Asajj Ventress and Quinlan Vos together. And they're so cool. They make a really good team. And I wish the ending hadn't been spoiled for me, because when I said that I wanted to read Dr. Seibel, somebody in the Teacher Freaks things was like, well, this happens at the end. I was just like, I just said I want to read it. That means I haven't read it yet. Why did you do that? So
can't help it. They can't help themselves.
I was really mad. I was just like, oh, fuck, thanks, man. But it's really good. I like Quinlan Vos and Ventress together, and I like seeing the side of Ventress. But also, to add to it, can I tell you something about the Ahsoka novel?
Sure. I'm not going to read it.
Well, keep in mind that, for people everywhere, the Ahsoka novel is canon. Like, this is her life between Clone Wars and Rebels. And so it's all canon. And so if you don't want to get spoiled for the Ahsoka novel and you haven't read it yet, skip ahead, like, I don't know, I guess like 2 minutes would be a good thing. To be safe and sorry. So this is your last chance. Last chance. Okay, anyway. So in this novel, she keeps having flashbacks to like things that have happened. And they said they actually explained how she got out of Order 66, which was, we know from Rebels that Rex took out his chip, so he didn't have the chip in him. And what it was is that after Order 66, her and Rex found a beheaded clone that didn't have a head on them, put him in Rex's armor, buried him, and on the tombstone carved in that Rex was that was Rex's grave, and that he was the one that killed Ahsoka, and she left her lightsabers there, and then they parted ways.
Jeez.
I know, and I was just like, what? I read it like 3 times, like that section where, fuck, I have the book in my room. I can like read it to you right now. It's like a quick paragraph, but I was just like, holy shit. That's intense. They like, and she was saying, she was like, nobody else knows the clones as well as I do, so they won't know that it's not Rex.
Right.
And so they like, that's how Rex got out of there too, because everybody thinks that him and Ahsoka are both dead. Ugh.
And they're clones, so if they genetically test him, he'll come out Rex.
Yeah. The only thing is like he has a chip in his arm that actually has like his number in it. But, like, no one's going to dig them up. So, like, that's how they get around. And that part just broke my heart. Because, like, that they had to do that. And that's how she survived Order 66. I was like, that's intense, man. Anyway, back to the Zilla Beast. Between the last episode with Anakin and this one with Palpatine, I love this image of people riding on R2.
Yeah, it never happens in the movies. Maybe someday we'll see it in the movies.
Yeah, and I just need more of that. It's really kind of cute. They're just, like, hugging him, and he's just like, pew!
Yeah, you just basically have to wrap your arms and legs around him like a little kid riding a ride or something. Yeah.
I also kind of got this image, just because she's adorable and I love her, of, like, Rey eating, like, just, like, eating and just, like, sitting on top of R2, and he's just wheeling along so she can eat. And, like, her just, like, riding on R2 and just, like, eating, like, noodles or something. And he's just,
yeah,
like...
and he's got, like, all his bar equipment from Return of the Jedi with her drink set on it and stuff. Little tray.
So I really liked that image. I was just like, oh, Rey! So, but I need more of that. Because I think this is the first time we've seen anybody ride on R2. I can't think of any time anymore.
No, I was going to say, I thought we'd seen it before, but I'm thinking of Rebels, because people ride on Chopper all the time, but...
Yeah, because Ezra rides on Chopper a lot.
All the time, yeah.
So, yeah, I like that image. Keep doing that, guys.
I think riding R2-D2 would give you the same sort of funny feeling. I don't know if as a girl you get the same sort of funny feeling climbing the rope in gym class, but it gives me that impression.
I think it would do the same thing. One of my absolute favorite moments of this episode, and this sounds terrible to say, is the Zilla Beast's death, because Kevin Kiner absolutely nails it with the music. It's so sad, and you have, like, kind of like the choir in the background kind of going, oh, but then when the Beast dies up to that score, like, the score is just beautifully done, and it just has this weight in it that this is the last creature of its kind dying, and it's just, it's so good.
And we've just learned that he's smart and a good guy, and then he's killed.
Yeah. Rest in peace, little beast. I have another question for you.
Okay.
If Anakin wasn't there, do you think that Palpatine would have whipped out his Sith powers to save himself?
Oh, definitely. Oh,
even
sure.
Even with Padme? Well, he could just, like, kick Padme out of the ship.
Right, yeah, but he could probably Sith glamour her or something, you know, or
I just imagine him in, like, RuPaul's Drag Race, be like, girls, glamour you.
Yeah, no, like, you know, they sort of did it to, well, you'll see in episode one, they do it with Jar Jar. He's freaking out, and Qui-Gon just sort of, like, taps him on the shoulder, and he's just like, oh. You know, like, they just gave him a tranquilizer. He probably could have just, like, tapped Padme on the shoulder and made her go nappy nap. Mm-hmm. And then broke out some lightning.
They'd be like, what's that coming out of the ship? I don't know. It's not a Sith Lord. So, that was the only thing. Because there's other, like, so many people around. He'd be pretty much be, like, revealing himself in front of everybody.
Yeah, no, I don't think he would do that. I think he would, not with all those Jedi and stuff around him. He'd get them to fight and just run out.
Yeah. So, to finish up my last note, I already said one of these about talking about Pablo Hidalgo and the possibilities of a future Zillow reference. My only other note with that is I don't understand why he gave the notes to Dr. Bull. Like, why not give it to Kamino, who are people who are known for being super good at cloning? If you want to make a monster...
I guess Dr. Bull's got the most experience with the Zillow Beast of anybody at that point anyway.
Yeah, it's not like Senator... what's her name? Like, Utoni or Brigatoni, whatever her name is.
Yeah, she might... Bertoni, or she might... She might end up sending off the DNA to the Kaminoans anyway.
Yeah, so that way they can make more... I wonder if that's where the Clone Phase 2 armor comes, because it's either Season 3 or 4, the clones get new armor.
Oh, it could be.
Because Rex has his Phase 2 armor, though we know that the Phase 1 armor is stronger, actually. We found that out in Rebels. Actually, the episode of Rebels you haven't seen... Rex gets hit with a bolt, and he's just like, oh, it's all right, it's Phase 1 armor, it's strong. And I'm like, huh, I thought the Phase 2 armor would have been stronger. So, I don't know.
Ooh, I'm going to be watching that tonight before I go to bed.
You better send me a message of what you think of it.
I will.
Because I really loved the episode, except for one part of it, but I won't tell you what.
I'll see if I can figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. But a lot of it just comes from, like, the fact that I like Ezra, but I don't love Ezra, so that's what a lot of it is. So, yeah, that's all I had for the Zillow Beast.
All right, so are we ready to score this sucker up?
Yeah, you go first. You love it.
I love it.
I'm gonna see if I can guess your score, and then I'm gonna let you score it up and tell me if I'm right.
All right, I gave them both one score.
Yeah, guys, we scored this all as one big episode. I think you're gonna score it either a perfect 10 or a 9.5. Okay, go, prove me wrong.
9.5.
Yeah.
It's a 9.5. Not quite perfect. If it was an hour, if each episode was an hour long, 10. But yeah. I love this. This will be showing up in a couple months, or you know, at the end of December for our season 2 wrap up. That's for sure. I love it. I love King Kong and I love Godzilla, and mix them with Star Wars. Come on, it's peanut butter cups all the way.
Peanut butter cups.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I watched these episodes and I felt like they were fillers, but like I said, the more and more I watched them over the years, I came to like super appreciate these episodes. I really like watching Mace Windu go through the fact of like not killing its own kind, and it's fun to see Palpatine both being evil and getting the shit scared out of him. And we don't get to see scared Palpatine a lot, so I really like seeing that side of his character. I love the Zillow Beast design. I think it's a really good monster, and I hope we can see him again someday in Star Wars. And the only thing I didn't really mention is the first episode is definitely like all set up. It's a big setup episode, and it really needs the second episode, and I think that's where it's flawed. Because the first episode is really just, it's okay.
If it was just on its own, it would be very unsatisfying, though.
Yeah, like
this one is the payoff of the first episode, the payoff of the Zillow Beast that you kind of need in the first episode.
And that's why I'm kind of really glad that we put this together, because the first episode I had like 6 notes.
right.
It would have been a really short episode.
Yeah, there's not a lot to it at all.
Yeah, so I actually gave both of them together an 8 out of 10.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't expect it to be as high as me.
Oh no, I like these episodes. I really do like these episodes. Like they've grown to be some of my favorites over the years. And I think a lot of it is like, I think the first time I watched it, I didn't realize it was an homage to monster movies. I was just like, oh my god, did they make Godzilla really? Like, what the hell? I'm in college and I think I know everything. But like now I'm just like, oh man, they made a Godzilla movie, yeah! Because now I'm almost 30 and I don't give a fuck. The older I get, the less I give a fuck. So, as always, dear listeners, we would love to hear your feedback from either iTunes, Twitter, or the Two True Freaks Facebook page. Definitely on iTunes, though. We like reading iTunes reviews because that helps people find the show. And this week, our feedback comes from our friend Aaron on our episode, The Mandalore Plot. So I'll read my little bit, and then you can read the rest of it.
Okie dokie.
So I was saying about our episode, The Mandalore Plot, that I totally forgot we had a conversation about Cruella De Vil skinning Lermans for cosplay.
Yes, we did.
Yeah,
Aaron Henley has something to say about that. As a card-carrying member of Petlepel, Petlepl, People for Ethical Treatment of Lerman, except Pappy Lerman, I can't endorse Lerman socks. They are really warm and cozy for those cold Hoth nights, though. Well, I'll say there are cruelty-free Lerman, well, semi-cruelty-free Lerman socks, where they just hold the Lermans down and shear them like sheep and make the socks out of them. But yeah, but just the ones where you lop the head off them, take the guts out, and stick them on your feet. Those are the real Lerman socks.
Like a tauntaun.
Yeah. And they don't smell as bad.
Like a tauntaun.
Like a tauntaun you can wear on your feet. That'll be our catchphrase we sell at the store. Like a tauntaun for your feet. Animal cruelty always makes you laugh and laugh, Hope. I don't know what's wrong with you.
I love animals.
I know you do.
I love animals. I even love horses, and they can kill me. Sorry, the context. I'm deathly allergic to horses. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm never going to be a Disney princess.
Never going to be,
I went to my first pony party in middle school and then went to the hospital.
Oh, jeez.
I know. I'll never be a Disney princess. But you were saying for Aaron, he had another comment.
Yeah, there's another one. Okay. Sorry for such the late response. Time to put years of EU reading to work and earn my merit badge for this episode. There actually was a lot of controversy in fandom right before this arc debuted. Up until then, okay, this is about the Mandalorian stories.
Yep.
Up until that time, Mandalorians were pretty much based off a mix of bounty hunter slash mercenaries and Klingon philosophy of honor in battle and life. In fact, an entire Mandalorian language sprang up called Mandoa, and a lot of fans were using it. Glossaries and vocabulary sections in the Republic Commando books helped keep track of everything. So pretty much Star Wars found its Klingons. The vast majority of this came from the Republic Commando novels written by Karen Travis.
She's a great writer, by
the way. That's what Scott Gardner was saying. When he was reading through all the EU novels, he was always saying really good things about Karen Travis.
So far, the first two EU books I've read, which was Wild Space and No Prisoners, were both written by her, and both were fantastic.
He said there was one she wrote about a medical crew or something like that. And that was really good. That sounded like it was going to be really boring, and he said it ended up being one of the better ones he'd read. All right. Yeah. These books followed a squad of RCs and really touched upon how the specialist clone commandos and ARC troopers were taught about their Mandalorian heritage, so they're pretty much Mandos. I'm personally a huge fan of the series and do encourage you guys to check it out, as it also deals with how the Jedi get called out for...
Four?
Oh, okay. My screen wasn't scrolling. I'm like, for just taking this army and going to war with it. Clones being used for something against their will, and also a little Jedi clone romance.
Ooh! Really? piqued my interest.
The controversy came when, as Hope reported, Dave Filoni's notes that the Mando culture wasn't really what everyone had thought it was, and that the more militaristic mercenary types weren't part of everyday Mandalorian life. In fact, Ms. Travis left writing Star Wars because, in my opinion only, she didn't like what the canon version of her beloved Mandos was, and abruptly left. I'd heard that too. A lot of fans were ticked, me included at the time, but I've since grown to love Satine, and just how great the character she is. To me, this and the appearance of Ahsoka were pretty much the dividing line between EU being canon and being legends before the Disney buyout. This was when I went from everything being canon and working it to make it fit, if it has a Lucasfilm logo, that's the film's hard canon. Actually, this was a relief in a lot of ways, so I could stop trying to force things to fit and just sit back and enjoy the stories being told. Yeah, I know that feeling. I know this was a bit of a long one, but I hope I will be able to fill in some gaps that you two mentioned in the episode. Can't wait for next week's, well, I mean today's episode, as we hop on the Love Boat of Doom with some of the best Obi-Wan Anakin banner and Obi-Wan buddy. Just kiss her already.
Yeah. All right, so two things I have on this. Let me see if I can remember my points. Number one, I'm actually wondering with Thrawn now in Rebels if a lot of the fans are going to have the same reactions who are big fans of the Thrawn novels. Though I do know that Timothy Zahn write the original Thrawn novels?
I think so, yes.
He's writing a new Thrawn novel. I think that's going to soften some people's blow, but I'm wondering if fans are going to have the same reaction as they did to the Mandos in this. My other thing is, I understand that a lot of the Legend stuff did get thrown out, and that was a lot of Star Wars for people for a long time. When I remember going to see The Force Awakens with my friend Paige, she was really upset with the Disney buyout because Mara Jade was her favorite character.
Uh-huh.
And so, that was everything to her. And so it really was upsetting to her, and I totally get that. At the same time, I do have to appreciate how much easier it is to get into Star Wars now.
Well, also, she doesn't necessarily have to, worry about maybe Mara Jade will be back.
Yeah.
She just doesn't have to come back with the same continuity that she had before, but they can take the parts that everybody liked and make it fit this time.
I just imagined, we have, episode 8 opens, and we have that opening scene of, like, Rey holding out Luke's lightsaber, and Luke has just looking at her, and Mayor Jade just comes out from behind a rock, getting dressed and putting her clothes back on. He's just like, honey, not yet. He's like, oh, shit, we have company. Hey.
Hi.
Hey, well, I'm Mayor Jade. What's up, man? So, yeah, like, I mean, I do understand.
It's not impossible, just highly improbable.
Yeah, and so, like, for someone like me, like, my problem was when I really started getting into Star Wars, like, a few years back when I was in college, it was the EU was just so daunting because there's so much of it. There is so much of it. So, like, it's really hard to find a good place to start in the EU. And so that's why I kind of like that. It's easier to pick up some of the canon books because there's not as many of them. And, like, you can even pull up a list of, like, here's the list of canon books. Though I find it interesting that they weren't doing before, or at least I don't think they were doing before, a lot of the young adult novels are canon. And there's actually one, and I actually, I put it in the Two True Freaks Facebook group today, because actually me and Aaron were talking about Thrawn and why the clones weren't stormtroopers. It was explained in a young adult novel for kids, but it's canon because it's one of the canon books. So it's interesting, and you can easily find stuff. Like, oh, the whole thing about Kix, the clone Kix living to The Force Awakens, that was in a young adult novel.
I have those. I have a lot. I have stacks of Star Wars young adult novels.
Yeah, so it's, I do like that.
I think I have the whole Jedi Apprentice series.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, like, once I finish Dark Disciple and Ahsoka, while I should probably read more classic literature, I want to read more Star Wars. So I think I'm going to get the book that Kanan meets Hera, and she recruits him to the Rebels. So I think I'm going to do that one next. So I've heard mixed reviews on it. Like, people who are, like, really big Kanera fans, and I'm a huge Kanera fan, they really like it, but I heard a lot of people who are just, like, reading it to be a Star Wars book says it's pretty bad.
I'm so terrible because I'm such a literature snob. I like trashy, like, really trashy literature and, like, great, well-written literature. But, like, I have a hard time reading Star Trek and Star Wars books most of the time because, you know, it's they're not a book that somebody was sitting around going, like, I've got to get this out, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody came to him and said, well, we need you to do a Star Wars movie or book, and we need you to get this from point A to point B here, and you can do whatever you want to this. You know, it's all, they kind of have that made by committee, and a lot of times they don't hire A-list, right? I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes you get your Alan Dean Fosters and James Blishes and stuff like that who are really good. And now I can't remember her name. We just mentioned her.
Karen Travis.
Karen Travis's and stuff that are like good writers. But, like, there's so much stuff to wade through that it's like I have bookshelves full of, like, all different kinds of books that I've been waiting to read for years.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's something by, like, Kurt Vonnegut, and I'm thinking, read that Kurt Vonnegut book I haven't read before, read a Star Wars book, Kurt Vonnegut's going to win every time, you know?
Yeah.
Even Stephen King will whoop a Star Wars or a Star Trek book.
I found it the easiest way to get into the EU is I picked up things I was interested in. I don't give two shits about Tarkin. I'm not going to read a book about Tarkin. I'm glad he died in a fire. I'm happy.
Right, right.
I hate Tarkin. But, like, my first two ones I bought was, one, they were both Clone Wars. And that was easy for me to get into. And then from there, you know, I'm reading the Ahsoka novel in Dark Disciple. But one is because Ahsoka's my other favorite character with Rex. And Dark Disciple is what would have been season 6, the last half of season 6 of Clone Wars. So I wanted to read it because I feel like that helps complete the series for me.
Right, right.
But, like, after that, like, if I read any more of the actual EU, not, like, the canon ones, I'm probably going to continue looking at stuff in Clone Wars era because that's... I do kind of want to read the Thrawn books now that Thrawn's in Rebels. I hadn't read them before.
See, I tried reading those first Timothy Zahn books when it was the bit Star Wars was coming back. We got this writer to write it. It's the next story coming in. You know, you're not going to get Episode 7. So here's what happens next. And I was way excited and started reading it and got about 3/4 of the way through the first book. And I was like, And I rarely do this either. I very rarely take a book and close it and go, well, I'm done with that. And I did. I was like, I'm not enjoying this. It's not pushing my Star Wars buttons. Why am I here? And then I just closed it up and I was done with it. And pretty much that was the end of the EU for me.
Yeah.
Outside of like, I'll read the comics. Someone got the Timothy's, David Pasquarella sent me the comic adaptations of the Timothy Zahn books. So I'm going to read those pretty soon, and I'll get the whole story that way. So I'll be picking up Thrawn.
Oh, send this to me, if you can. Are they like PDF files, or are they
no,
like...
No, they're books, silly. Ooh. They're actual comic books. Although I'm sure there are PDFs of it that could be found of it. I'm sure it could be arranged. That might be a good topic for a future J Guys and Jedi.
Yeah, because like actually they're right here on my desk.
Well, since Thrawn's going to be more of a character through all this.
Yeah.
Although he's going to die sometime too, also.
Because I spent a whole because they were like on sale on Amazon. I have a couple Star Wars comics myself. I have one that I really would actually love to talk about, but they were like the early Dark Horse comics. And there are ones that take place between season 4 and 5 of Clone Wars, one that's a little earlier, and another one, and it's Defenders of the Lost Temple, Jedi, or Crash Course, and The Enemy Within, and I'm literally holding them.
Well, like, I'm that might be my, like, what I might start working on is, I can't afford to buy the Star Wars comics, all the Star Wars comics monthly, so now I'm just going to buy them when I can.
I work in a fucking comic book store and I can't afford it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and they're kind of like the Dark Horse comics where they're not going anywhere. they're not flying off the shelves, and it's like, oh, I can't get that issue because everybody wants that issue. So it might happen in the future, but for the most part, they're going to be sitting back issues in my comic shop. And that's what I've been doing with the Dark Horse Star Wars series too. Is I just when I go in, I'll pick up the issue 26 of the Dark Horse one until I get all the Dark Horse ones. But I think I might start trying to dig up all the Clone Wars era comics because I have a bunch of them that I got when they came out when Dark Horse was doing them, and they were for the most part they were all pretty good. I got a couple of the digests too that were more for little kids that were more drawn in the Tartakovsky.
Actually, in I think it's Rebels magazine or like the Star Wars magazine or something. There's a Star Wars comic strip that's canon, and they have stuff like Callus before Star Wars Rebels having to turn his friend in because his friend that he trained with his entire life was in the rebellion, and Callus had to deal with that fallout of having to turn in his friend. Those are all canon comics.
I'm waiting for Callus to turn to the good side soon enough.
Oh man, in the Wedge episode. It's
coming, yeah, it's coming.
Oh my god,
he's gone far too far. He's already getting pissed with his position in the Empire. We're gonna have Callus as a rebel sometime in one of the maybe not this season, but maybe like to maybe stuff that you know in the wind up of the season and the beginning of next season. I'll bet you we find him riding around on the ghost.
You know the thing is about Callus's when we actually start talking of Star Wars Rebels on the show, he's starting to hit kind of like Rex clone level for me. I love Agent Callus.
He's kind of a pretty boy version of Rex.
Like I adore Agent Callus. Like he's he's probably definitely hands down like my top 5 characters.
Yeah,
easily from Rebels.
I have a feeling he'll be a very important tactical member of the rebellion.
Yeah,
so he'll know a lot of the inner workings.
He's probably
or he might not make it.
He's probably my third favorite character.
They might have him make a sacrifice at the end. You know, he might do a sacrifice. You know, redeeming act or something like that.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I will tell you, there's one, if we ever do talk about the Dark Horse comics, I know which one I want to do first.
Okay.
It's a little short comic. It's called Defenders of the Lost Temple. And just to read you the summary, you'll know exactly why I want to do it.
I may have that.
Yeah. So, it's about a clone trooper named Glitch. And it says, on a mission with a Jedi general, one clone trooper contemplates his own worth as a copy of the great Mandalorian warrior. He has never been the best soldier. As he learns about the Jedi and the power of the Force, he begins to feel that perhaps what has been setting him apart from the other clones is his own connection to the Force.
Oh.
Force-sensitive clone!
Uh-huh.
Oh, my heart! Oh, my stars! Everything I want. But we should probably wrap up this episode because we're like at 2 hours. And we were saying it was going to be like an hour and a half, so.
Well, you know.
we sometimes take some side roads. And if we're going to start talking about Agent Callus, we'll be here for another 30 minutes. Let's save
that. Sorry about the extra 30 minutes of content, guys.
Yeah, sorry.
Make it.
And to be really perfectly honest, let's see, where are we?
All these people are like, God damn it, I got to sit in my driveway and finish off this episode.
And to be perfectly honest, I really want to go watch the World Series, and right now the Cubs are beating Cleveland, so go Cubs.
My roommate, I know she doesn't listen to the show because she'd hate me if I told her this. My roommate tours around with a band, and two of the guys in the band are huge Cubs fans.
Uh-huh.
And when they were touring around a month ago, they went to the sports stadium that the Cubs are in.
They went to Wrigley?
They went to Wrigley Field, and they went down onto the field, and she got to take her butt, and she rubbed her butt on their dugout and said, there, that's for good luck. And they all were laughing because they all, you know, even I know the story of the Cubs, you know.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm going to rub my butt on their dugout for good luck. And guess what?
They're in the World Series.
In the World Series. So there you go. For if anybody wants $10,000, I could arrange a butt rubbing and send you off into whatever your greatest wish would be. The magical butt of my roommate can grant it. If she could grant it to the Cubs, right? You know, what else would be out of her grasp?
Well, in that case, where can people find you, Chris?
People can find me at twotruefreaks.com. The warehouse, the Raiders of the Lost Ark warehouse full of podcasts dating back to the golden years of 2008.
2008. The prequel trilogies are over.
We've got Pop Culture Affidavit. Is it Jaws? We've got The Hammer Strikes. We've got the two chestnuts of our original Two True Freaks lineup that are still grinding on is The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror is the only one with its original host, more or less. And I want to say Hey Kids Comics. I mean,
Back
to the Bins, which has been going for even longer than that. And of course, of the Two True Freaks, you got Scott Gardner's always on Back to the Bins, and I'm always on Vault of the Starling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. And scheduling allowing, hopefully Scott Gardner and I'll be getting back together and doing some podcasts together.
Ooh.
Not like we don't wanna.
Yeah, schedules and all.
That's what I want to tell everybody. It ain't like we don't wanna. And we got some big, awesome, at least to me, I really like the plans that Scott and I have been starting to talk about. So yeah, and you can find us on Twitter, and there's Gene Hendricks runs our Two True Freaks Twitters. You run our J Guys and Jedi Twitter.
Yep.
And Facebook, we got a Two True Freaks. We got a Two True Freaks page on Facebook. We got a page for Back to the Bins has its own page. We got a page for Garage Sale Gloat, my Garage Sale podcast. We got a page called the Two True Freaks Cantina where everybody just goes and talks. Scott Gardner just started up the Two True Freaks film score appreciation page.
That's such a cool page.
That's an awesome page. I'm trying to get people to start putting their scary movie. I just put the Creepshow soundtrack up on there, which I hadn't listened to before. I'd seen Creepshow before. The soundtrack is like one of the... That would be a great recording to play. It's going to be past Halloween by the time this comes out, but that would be a great recording to play out, like out on your porch during Halloween when the kids are coming, because it has sound effects in it. and it's got little goofy organ part. You know, it's always changing, and it almost sounds like you're walking through a haunted house. It's a lot of fun.
Well, you can find me, like Chris said, at our Twitter at JGuysAndJedi. You can also find me at Hope Mullinax, and I'm also the news feed writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. So please come check us all out, because we get paid through ad revenue, and I like to get paid, so thanks. I like making money, I'm poor.
Yes, it's be nice, nice to get paid for one of your jobs.
Yeah, but yeah, we're doing really great, so come see us. And also, like I said earlier, please leave a message or our review on iTunes for us, and we'll read it on the show, and it helps people find the show, so we really appreciate those. And that's all I have for Mr. Zillow. Rest in peace, Zillow, and we'll pour one out for the Zillow Beast.
Get him!
Pour one on out. Get Palpatine. Oh, I just imagine Palpatine being mauled by a panda bear.
Zillow, sick balls.
Oh, what a... he is in the big monster heaven with Grievous's pet Gore.
Oh my god, they're playing catch.
Gore like throws in, like he goes like bounding off, and
Zillow throws it, and Gore's like running with his tongue hanging out, like because Gore's kind of the dumb one. Zillow's the smart one. That's how I picture it anyway.
I just imagine, like, the Zillow having, like, a little monocle and a British top hat, like, drinking tea while Zillow is just, like,
and my dog
a big
Luke
American
is...
flag, and he's just like, yeah!
And my dog Luke is there, and my cat Doctor Strange is there. All right, enough of the Monster Elysium Fields. We'll see you next week.
Bye, go rest in peace. Bye, Zillow.
In pieces.
Aw, as they take you apart to make you into clone armors or Death Stars in the sky. Bye!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at TwoTrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at TwoTrueFreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. TrueFreaks.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at TwoTrueFreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes. You can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
Where have you been, Lord? Run, my son. Oh, make my bed soon. For I'm weary from hunting.